Mr. Rosh Yeshiva. Truth is, I'm not sure if I'm right to speak to you today. First of all, on my way over from Ramat Eshkol to here, I didn't save anybody. And second of all, tell you the truth, after Shavuos morning on Shacharis, when Shacharis is over, I actually went to sleep and I didn't learn for 2 hours. So I know I don't deserve a standing ovation, but for a few minutes, we'll try to discuss some chizuk and inyani musar in terms of how to end the year properly. So where are we now? What station are we at? We came back to yeshiva after Pesach. We climbed the ladder of Sirius HaOmer. We climbed the rungs, developing ourselves with one goal. The goal of Shavuos is Ma Matan Torah Seinu. And we got to the goal. And I have to say, in Yeshiva Sarah Shraga, we got to the goal of flying colors. It's unbelievable what took place here on Shavuos, the final goal. It's unbelievable the amount of hours, hundreds of hours, that were learned in this base Medrash on Shavuos. Thanks to Rabbi Roblowski's program, the Shavuos Challenge. And in addition to that, there was a Siyum on Shas Mishnayos yesterday. Extremely inspiring. A way to reach the final goal that we've been climbing since we've been back here through Pesach. So now it's over. It's done. Finished. The goal has been reached. So what are we left with over here? We're left with 10 days and counting of yeshiva days. And what do we do with it? You know, some of us may feel that at this time now, just count down the days. We start involving ourselves in our summer plans, in our college registration. There's so much to distract us. And really, we hit the goal yesterday. So what are we to do? What's the avodah for today? So I always remember, it's 15 years ago, and it's etched in my memory. There was a sicha that my Rebbe of Tursi, Shlita, gave on NCSY Kola. It was the one summer, I was on NCSY Kola one summer, and this, again, it was the last year that they were in Efrat. It's 15 years ago. I think, Rabbi Yudin, you were there that summer? So he gave, I don't know if he still does this, but Rav Tursi gave a shmooze, literally, it was the last Shal Shudas. I don't know if he still does it, but it was the last Shal Shudas of the Kollel, and it was an extremely inspiring summer. And he said at the time, he was giving chizuk on how to transition the experience, the Kollel experience, into the next stage of life. And he quoted at the time, he quoted from Rav Schechter, who was quoting the Chazon Ish. I think it's by the Sugya of Dina D'Malchus Dina. The Chazon Ish said an amazing thing. Chazon Ish said that there's no experience or situation that may ever arise in life that the Torah or the Halacha doesn't have a response to. So that means that any situation you're in, we may not know it, but the Torah has something to say about that experience, that situation. So he asked at the time, at that shmooz, Shal Shudas, at the end of Kollel, what's the halacha that corresponds to the experience we have now? We experience an awesome summer, an inspirational summer. What's the halacha that corresponds to this experience? Which is what we have right here in the Ilah, the ending of Torah Shraga, Tav Shanai Hei. What's the halacha? So he said at the time, the halacha is a halacha called Lina. What's the halacha of Lina? The halacha of Lina, it's a pasuk in the Torah, the halacha of Lina states that if a person goes to Yerushalayim, he's going for his Bikurim, or his Olas Re'iyah, so the Torah tells us that you go to Yerushalayim, you do what you have to do, but you're not allowed to leave that night. You're not allowed to leave Yerushalayim that night. You have to wait till the next morning. The pasuk says, Ufanisa baboker halacha lalecha. You have to wait till the next morning before you leave. So the question is, why? Why do I have to wait till the next morning? I experienced the Beis HaMikdash. I brought my carbon. I did what I had to do. I experienced the year Shemayim, Laman Tilma, the year Es Hashem. I experienced it all. So why do I have to stay over that night? Let me go home. Let me out. So the Torah tells you no. Fanisa baboker, you have to wait till the next morning. What's the depth behind that halakha, behind that pasuk? So the explanation is that any time, this is Yesod in life, any time a person experiences something that's spiritual, that's inspirational, that's awesome, that's inspiring, unless a person has lina, unless a person has time Stay there where it happened and contemplate what you've just experienced. Unless you have time to think about how you're going to internalize that, you're going to absorb it fully so that you can transfer it and transpose it on to the next stage in your life, then you're not going to get the full effect of what you just experienced. So I want to suggest that these next 10 days is a 10-day Lina program. It's 10 days, and in my opinion, it is the most crucial and the most important 10 days of the entire year. You may think I'm crazy, but I'm right. Because if we employ this idea of Lina, and you take the time to sit down with yourselves, to sit down with your Rebbein, to think about all the things that inspired you, that you want to take with you, and you figure out how you're going to do it now, then a person can be tremendously successful in the next stage. And without it, he's missing the point. He's missing the Lina slide. So, really the truth is, every single person is different, and every single person has their own things that they worked on this year, and every person has things that inspired them differently. So it's kind of unfair for me now to suggest the things which I think are kedai and worthwhile to think about. Because you may have different things, and you may not agree that the things I'm going to suggest now are things that are important to you, which is fine. That's not the point. The reason I came this morning is just to tell you that these 10 days of Lina are crucial to introspect and contemplate of what you gained over the year and how you're going to transfer it over to the next stage of life. So we're going to keep it short. I'm going to tell you three basic ideas that I feel a person should think about, almost three steps almost, and how a person should be thinking possibly at this stage in the year. First one, step number one, concretize the inspiration. The truth is, it's a Rashi in the Chumash here, it's a Rashi in this week's Parsha, it's a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Samach Gimel. The Gemara says, Tanya Rebbe Omer, Lama Nismacha, we have this week's Parsha, juxtaposition between Parsha Sota and Parsha Nazir. So Rashi brings from the Gemara in Brachos, and from this Gemara in Sota, that phase, what's the juxtaposition of the wayward wife, the Sota, and the Nazir? One who abstains from wine, can't get a hair, can't be Matami himself. What's the connection? Says Rashi, Lo Marlecha, Shekol Haroa Sota Bikil Kula, Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayin, that any person who witnesses, who's eyewitness to the humiliating process, the degradation of Sota, Roa Sota B'Kilkula, that person, Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayin, has to abstain from wine by becoming a Nazir. So, the Shem Yishmuel asks the Kasha, who quoted the Shem Yishmuel? I respect your quote last night. Shem Yishmuel asks the Kasha over here. He says, what do you mean, Kol Sher Roa Sota B'Kilkula Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayin? Should be the opposite. The person who was in the Beis HaMikdash, the person who was eyewitness to the whole process, it's degrading, humiliating what was taking place in the Sota. So that person saw it with their own eyes. It's etched in their minds. They need to take something artificial upon themselves to control and discipline themselves from externally. They don't need that. They saw what took place. That's enough to refrain a person from inappropriate and excessive drinking, which, like the Rashi says, Shahu may be the day neof. It's excessive and inappropriate drinking, which brings a person to adultery. But I don't need that external control and discipline. I saw it with my own eyes. Says the Shem Yishmuel, the Chazal should say the opposite. Kol shelo roeh sota b'kulkula yatzir azmanai. The person who didn't witness this horrifying scene in the Beis HaMikdash of the Sota, that's the person who needs to take upon themselves. So answers the Shem Yishmuel, such a profound insight into human nature, and this is step number one, and that is, the Shem Yishmuel says that human nature, when a person is in the midst of a very powerful inspirational experience, and he's right now, everything's clear to him, so that's when a person needs to reinforce. That's dafka when a person needs to reinforce himself, whatever he's trying to accomplish. Why? Because we think that everything's so clear and it's going to remain that way. Every single thing that we've accomplished this year, any inspiration, be it the role of Torah, Kvias Itim LaTorah in our lives, so it's clear. Everyone would say that how could we not have Kvias Itim LaTorah after a year in yeshiva? Does anybody plan on going back and not having a Seder every day, some sort of Seder day? It's impossible. It's so clear. The role of Tefillah B'Tzibur in a person's life, that's clear to a person after being in a year in yeshiva. So a person says, that's going to fade? That's ever going to fade? That's impossible. It's so clear. It's abundantly clear. No. Kola Ro Sota B'Kukula. You're right now, it's clear. Concretize it right now. These last 10 days, reinforce it right now. Because if you make a certain decision now in your life, while it's clear, guaranteed eventually the inspiration fades, the inspiration wanes. But if you make the decision now, the decision's there. And once the inspiration goes away, you're still left with that decision you made. There's a bachur in the yeshiva, he's going to go nameless right now. I saw him walking into yeshiva after being a storm, second Seder, with a bag of gemaras. This is literally half a week ago. And I asked him, what do you buy? So he showed me he has a gemara Tainis, a gemara Makos, I think it was a gemara Sota, three gemaras. So he's going to a college next year. So I said, why'd you buy this svarim now? We're learning McGill and yeshiva, we have 10 days left. He said, Rabbi, because the Gemara Tainis is with this Chavrusa at this and this time, and the Gemara Sota is with this Chavrusa, and the Gemara Makos is with that Chavrusa. I bought the Gemaras now because now I'm inspired, now I know that next year I have to have a Seder, and I had to buy this farm now. So this buffer, for sure, his inspiration probably will stay with him throughout the next year. But if it doesn't, and he takes a look at the Gemara that he knew, that he bought 2 weeks before Torah Shraga's end, and he looks at the Gemara and, there's college, there's pressures, no inspiration left, shouldn't be the case. But if it is, he looks at his Gemaras, he made the decision when he was in yeshiva that he's going to have a Seder. That decision is left, even if the inspiration is gone. There's such an opportunity now, over the next 10 days, sit with your Rebbeim and talk about the things that you want to concretize right now while it's clear. The clarity that you have during these 10 days is not the clarity that you'll have 11 days from now. It's just not. So that's the first piece of advice. And I think people have use this advice in the past, and it works. Then there's the second advice. After you've concretized your goals, there's a fact of life out there. The fact of life is, you may have a goal, and you have it concrete, and you set it, but there's no way, there's a fact of life called nisyonos. There are challenges. There are trials and tribulations that tear away at your growth of Avodas Hashem. You think now that you have certain challenges. It's true you do. I'm going to let you in on a secret. They don't end. We don't ask for so much, but the older you get, I used to think, remember I had older thoughts, you said I was making a big decision at one point in my life, and I said, like, this is such a tremendous nisayon. After this, everything in life is going to be easy. And he told me, he said, it's not true. The next is waiting for you. The next is waiting for you. Ask any Rebbe in the yeshiva. Right, the Nisyona said, a person has now, just in a daily life, it gets more complicated. It's a sham, a person gets older, a person has children, they're more complicated Nisyonas. So that's a fact of life, Nisyonas are always there. So what's so crucial and so important is that you have the right Torah Hashkafa on how to approach Nisyonas. And it's something that I need to be machazik myself in time and time again. And I'm going to tell you something. If you have good chaverim, or mirtz Hashem, one day you have a good wife, it's very helpful to be machazik when you're in a challenge. some type of trial or tribulation that a person's going through, you need other people to mechazik you. But this is the yisod that I want to discuss for the next few minutes on the Torah approach to nisyonos, because everyone leaving yeshiva is going to have it at some point in time, and you have to know what the real Torah true approach is, and you have to remind yourself of this time and time again. I saw over Shavuos, it gave me a lot of chizuk. It was very inspiring. They had I get sent this newsletter called Orchos Yosher. And in there they had a question-answer session written down from Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. In there they come to him with a series of questions. Rebbeim, Rashi Yeshiva, come to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein and they pose a number of questions. And the first question they pose to him, that there are boys in the yeshiva that in the middle of the Zman, totally burnt out. And these are boys who have concrete goals and set themselves to it, and they want to learn. And in the middle of the Zman, they just simply, they're burnt out. They can't go forward. So how do you deal with such students? So Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, he gives a number, I'm not going to go through, he gives a number of different etzos, pieces of advice of what a bacher should do in such a situation. And then he goes on to discuss, but this is really a larger issue. How does a person deal with nisyonos? What's the approach? So he says there that a person has to understand that who put the nisyon there? It's the one who loves you the most. The Ribbono Shel Olam handpicked that nisyon for you. A person can't view every nisyon as just merely a difficulty in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it there for you to grow from it, to be misgaber on it, to conquer that nisayon, and to make you into a bigger person. Every time you're faced with a challenge, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam trying to make a person into a bigger person. It's a Rashi in Chumash. We read in the Kriyas HaTorah on Shavuos, that I was awake for. We said there in Parashas Yisro, Vayomer Moshe Elohim. It says, "Ki levavur nasos eschem ba'elokim." Rashi there on the spot says, "Lashon harama ugedula." The Ramban there doesn't like Rashi. He has many different pshatim, but the Rashi says, "And nisayon is lashon harama ugedula." Every challenge in life is there to make you bigger, to make you greater. And if you keep that in mind, it makes so many of the life's challenges easier to deal with. Whether it's learning, whatever it is, you're going to have pressures in college, and you're going to have pressures if you're coming back next year. There are always pressures in life, and if a person realizes it's there to make me bigger, to make me greater, it makes it that much easier. Says Rav Zilberstein, Maise Shahaya Kachaya. Following, told this over to my brother-in-law, Rav Goldschmidt, this yontiv. An amazing meiser, Rav Zilberstein says, there was a member of the Shin Bet, the Israeli ISA, the Israeli Security Agency. Member of the Shin Bet tells, I'm not sure exactly how he ended up, but Rav Zilberstein, he tells over the following meiser. He said he was trained, first he was drafted, he was given highly classified information, that they explained to him that this information can never be revealed. And they explained to him very clearly, if this information is ever leaked, is ever revealed, it will cost hundreds upon hundreds of lives in the state of Israel. And that means that if you're ever caught by Arab terrorists, you give up your life rather than reveal such information. And he was trained. And he understood this very well before he entered into his mission. About 2 years into his mission, he's caught. He's caught by three Arab terrorists, Rahman al-Islam. He describes, and I don't have to explain to you what ensued over the next 3 days. He was tortured. Day one, he was tortured. Day two, he was tortured. Day three, he was tortured. They tell him on day three that 12 o'clock tomorrow, you either, and they knew he had the classified information, they knew that he had it, and they told him very clearly, if it's not revealed to us by tomorrow 12 o'clock, That's it. Your life is over. That night, he describes he's sitting in the prison cell, and he's thinking to himself, he's thinking about his wife, he's thinking about his children. He was trained that this is never to be leaked. But as he starts to think about his children and his wife at home, he can't do it. First of all, he can't bear the torture anymore. Second of all, his wife, his children. And he says to himself that night, in the middle of the night, that's it. I'm revealing the information. After he makes that decision in his mind, he starts hearing murmuring over the wall. And he hears, puts his ear to the wall, and he hears murmuring discussions between his captors, his terrorists, in Hebrew, without any Arab accent. And he listens in, and he realizes, and he chaps, that the whole thing was a setup. It was a setup, it was a drill, it was an exercise by the Shin Bet to test this guy's loyalty. Would he reveal the information or would he not? He couldn't believe it. He listened closely. They were not Arabs. So he says, the next day, he's thinking, now he's going the next day, they're going to pull him out of the prison cell. He's absolutely going to tell them that he's not revealing the information. Kahava gets dragged in the next day. And start with the torture again, and he tells them, I'm not revealing to you one piece of information, knowing that it's a setup at this point. And they take the gun, and he describes it, they take the gun to the head, and they say, we're going to kill you, we're going to kill you. He said, you can take my life, I'm not revealing anything. And as soon as he says that, one of the captors says in a beautiful Hebrew accent, Mazel Tov! Ata oleh bidargah. You've risen in rank. Says Rav Zilberstein, that's how we have to view every Nisayon in life. It's just a Nisayon. It's a Nisayon. There's somebody standing behind every Nisayon, like the Rashi says, Levavur Naso Seschem, is to raise you up, it's to raise you in ranks, it's to make you bigger. There's somebody standing behind every Nisayon, ready to tell you, you conquered this. You conquer this one, Mazel Tov. Atah oleh bidargah. You've just gone up. It's not easy. Person has to keep this in mind. Person has to remind himself. But it's chizuk that every challenge you're going to face has to you approach it with the right attitude. And a person could be successful, but you have to remind them, and you have to listen to the murmur. The murmur has to be to yourself. The murmur has to be from your chaverim and from your wife. And then there's a third etzah, which I want to say, which I've said in the past, and I say it every year, and that is, you set up the concrete goals, you know you're going to hit nisyonos, you know the right approach, how to deal with every nisayon in life, and then there's the follow-up, and that is when you're successful in any nisayon, when you've accomplished any little small thing, you've adhered to a halacha, which is difficult for you, you have one hashkafa, which you now recognize. You have any success, a person has to be besimcha, with tremendous joy over every single success in his avodas Hashem. And to me, that is a tremendous, tremendous lesson in transitioning from your year in Eretz Yisrael to the next stage, whatever it may be. Because if a person experiences the simcha over his successes, over having been misgaber on a nisayon, anything in Yir Shemayim, then a person has a cheshek to move on and to do more. And there's a vort which I say every year, also I heard from Rav Tursky Shlita, and that is a pasuk in the second capital of Tehillim, we say, V'gilu bira'adah. V'gilu bira'adah. So the Gemara in Bracha says, the drasha on that pasuk, V'makom gila sham tehera'adah. Every, at a wedding, there's a simcha, there always has to be this note of sobriety at every chasana, you break the glass, there has to be some element of ra'adah, of yir shemayim, that you have in every simcha in life. There's never just unbridled simcha anywhere. Calls mind that there's a chorv beis hamikdash. Fine, that's the Gemara in Brachos. The Malbim says, no, that doesn't say no. The Malbim says, another pshat in the pasuk. V'gilu bira'adah, says the Malbim, rejoice in your yiras shemayim.
be besimcha over one's Yerushalayim.
And that means that when it's not, no one else is involved, just you and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you have a struggle, the person gets a stain on Shabbos. And he's very bothered by that stain, and he goes to the bathroom, and he wants to wipe out the stain, but he learned there's a halacha of melabe, and no one's going to see, and he decides not to rub out the stain. That's a simcha. That's Megillah Berada. That's the mom Megillah Berada. Viva Simcha. Go out to the Shabbos table and dance. And then there's a classic example I give every year, and I say this example every year because without every year that I've said this example, I get at least a phone call during the summer, an email during the summer. Rabbi, I remember what you said at the end of the year, and I could not do it, you'll see in a second what I've done, because of what you said. So I'm going to say it again. And that is definitely has happened to most people in this room, excluding the Rosh Hashiva. And that is a person, he knows he has to daven three times a day. And he's in the summer and he's working as a camp counselor and he gets up in the morning and he davens Shacharis Gevalda. And he goes ahead and he works the whole day. It's a hot day, it's awesome, but he davens Mincha in the middle of the day. Great. And then he even has a Seder at night. The day is going beautiful. And he's so tired at the end of the day, he gets into bed, gets under those covers, fluffs up the pillows, and his eyes are closing. And he's drifting in that comfort zone that's nothing else like it. And then he remembers, I didn't daven Ma'ariv! I forgot about Ma'ariv! See the smiles on the faces? What do you do? What do you do? So you start thinking to yourself, no, maybe I did daven Ma'ariv, but just forgot about it. Okay, even if I didn't daven Ma'ariv, 2 out of 3 is not better than Shabbos and Mincha. What am I going to do? It's not easy. But if a person gets up out of the bed, puts on something respectable, he davens Tfilas Arvis. That is Yiras Shamayim. There's no one else who knows about it. The only thing driving him to daven that Ma'ariv is Yiras Shamayim. Zok the Malvin v'gilu b'ra'ada. Do a dance around your bed and then go back to sleep. That's what life's about. When there's nothing else driving a person other than Yiras Shamayim, and you're successful in that nisayon, that is the ultimate success. There is no simcha that is greater than that simcha. 12:45. Time is up. If you take these ideas that we spoke about and you speak it out with your rebbeim, you work on them, take some of your own ideas, this 10-day lina period, this 10 days that we have now, speak to the Rosh Hashiva. Concretize the inspiration that you've had this year. Make it concrete now. And if before you leave, you have the Torah Hashkafa of what every Nisayon is meant to do, what the goal of the Ribbono Shel Olam putting stumbling blocks in your way, what it's there for, the Vavur Nasa system, Harama Gdula, to make you greater. And then when you pass those Nisayonos, you have that Simcha, it will carry us very, very far. You do want to be zocha to this at the end of this year, the 10-day Lima period. Thank you.
If anyone sees Ofek as missing his phone,
thank you. Thank you.
Keep an eye out for the whole time. Ofek, I found it.
Better late than never.